the investigation into Wisconsin's 2020 presidential election by former state Supreme Court Justice Michael Gableman is ongoing with a new contract issued by Assembly Speaker Robin Voss. But Democrats and now some Republicans are raising new questions about the validity of the effort after a Dane County judge ordered the release of hundreds of pages of public records from this investigation, showing an apparent lack of progress, according to the judge. We're learning more about what these documents reveal about the investigation and where Gableman's efforts might go from here. You can join the conversation at 1-800-642-1234. Interested in knowing how you feel about the Gableman investigation, whether or not you want to see it continue. Do you think the 2020 election in Wisconsin needs more scrutiny? Or do you think Voss and Republicans need to move on? 1-800-642-1234 or post on the Ideas Network Facebook page anytime. Our guest is Jack Kelly, Wisconsin politics reporter for the Cap Times. Jack, welcome to Central Time.
Hey, thanks so much for having me.
I'm glad you can suss it out for us. Michael Gableman filed his report and gave his recommendations to the Assembly Committee last week, but it appears to be another interim report. So what is left for him to do now with this new contract?
So that's a great question. The language here has been a little confusing. Speaker Robin Voss had been referring to this as his final report for weeks before it came out. And then, of course, at that hearing before the Committee on Campaigns and Elections, he was referring to it as his second interim report. What work is still to be done from here? It's a little unclear. The new contract itself kind of lays this out for us. It says that now that he has filed this report, that he should focus on, it says right in the contract, quote, will concentrate its efforts to obtain the necessary documents and testimony to complete its investigation. So basically from here, it seems as if the speaker wants the Office of Special Counsel, which of course is run by Michael Gableman, to go forward and kind of settle some of these lawsuits about, subpoenas. He has asked to put the mayors of Madison and Green Bay in jail. It seems from here, the speaker is hoping that the Office of Special Counsel will continue to try to flesh out some of this ongoing litigation to determine the authority of the legislature going forward in case they ever wanted to pursue another investigation like this.
Jack, how far back does this investigation now go?
Well, it's been going on for quite some time. It started in earnest last summer. And this is the second contract extension that we have seen for Gableman. Initially, the review was scheduled to end October 31st and then December 31st. And then Gableman actually operated kind of in contractual limbo for a couple of months. And then on Tuesday, we finally saw an updated contract. So it goes all the way back and really commenced in earnest when Speaker Voss announced it at the state party convention last summer. Of course, this came shortly after a meeting that Speaker Voss had with former President Donald Trump. This has been going on for months, and it has shifted in scope at times. And last week we finally kind of got a look behind the scenes with this 136-page second interim report, as they're calling it.
Well, is that more behind the scenes than the 761 pages that was released as a result of one of the, I think, three open records cases against the special counsel right now?
Yeah, so that's interesting. There are three cases ongoing. All three of them were brought by a liberal watchdog group called American Oversight, which is headquartered in D.C., but they sue government agencies all around the country for public records. So the records released by the judge this week, the judge said this. He said during a hearing that it seems that this was much ado about nothing. There was a lot. They fought this for months. They fought the release of these documents for months, and the documents showed very little as it related to the investigation itself. The interim report made similar. You can have similar takeaways from the interim report. Gableman makes a lot of claims. Obviously, he made his recommendations. There is not a ton of information to back up some of the things that he says. I'd have to look at the report again, but I'm fairly certain he goes through the whole 136-page report and doesn't even include footnotes to kind of support some of the claims that he's making. So both the documents released on Tuesday by a judge and the interim report, as the judge said, it shows that, the Office of Special Counsel and Gableman, they have not pursued a ton in their review, even though it's been going on for several months now.
Jack Kelly's our guest, Wisconsin politics reporter for the Cap Times. Interested in what you think about this ongoing special counsel investigation into the 2020 presidential election at 1-800-642-1234. These 761 pages released earlier this week as a result of a decision from a Dane County Circuit judge. What do they reveal? What do they include? What's in this tome?
Yeah, so this is a great question. I think any journalist loves the opportunity to page through 700 plus pages of documents. Some of them were repeats. There were a handful of times where I found myself at page 400 in the PDF and was kind of confused because I had already read something. Some things that they show, Eric Cardall, who is a conservative attorney, works with a law firm based in Minneapolis. Works with another organization called the Thomas More Society, which I believe is subletting office space from the special counsel at their office in Brookfield, seems to have been heavily involved in the review. You know, he makes all sorts of connections for Michael Gableman. At one point, I'm fairly certain he started the process of reaching out to kind of a PR management consulting company in Chicago on behalf of the Office of Special Counsel. And it's important to keep in mind here that Eric Cardall is not one of the publicly announced members of the review staff. You know, Gableman told us this a couple of hearings ago about who was all on his staff, and Cardall was not one of them.
But he and Jack, you're saying that it seems as though he may have rented some space with the special counsel's office?
Yeah, so he works with this group called the Thomas More Society. And, you know, they're a conservative group and they're involved in a lot of election related, projects and lawsuits. And
he did. Didn't he sue to try to not decertify, but stop the certification of the presidential election? Is that Eric Cardall?
Yes. He was representing the Wisconsin Voters Alliance, which is the president, Ron Hoyer, of the Wisconsin Voters Alliance. Hoyer is actually a paid member of Gableman's review staff. So his emails reviewed that this relationship between the two of them seems to be much closer than previously known. Now, obviously, we knew they were working together. Cardall testified immediately after Gableman last week before the Assembly Committee. Cardall conducted a series of interviews with nursing home residents that Gableman showed during his testimony. So we knew it was there, but it showed that he seemed to be coordinating a lot on behalf of the Office of Special Counsel. So that was interesting. Another thing, you know, we see an email and they're talking about office supplies and how to organize documents. And at this point, they you know, in theory, were weeks or months into the review. So the documents were really interesting. It was not, you know, a substantial look that they had found a lot of wrongdoing in the Wisconsin election, but it was an interesting look into the inner workings of the Office of Special Counsel and just how they pursued this review over the last several months.
Worth reiterating the Dane County Circuit Judge Frank Remington's statement from the bench when he ordered the release of these 761 pages earlier this week, and that is he challenged the public to go through these and find what he said would be an argument that there has been an investigation, much less the conclusions that have been made by the Office of Special Counsel. Are there more documents to be obtained?
Potentially. Obviously, their Wisconsin public records law is fairly open and is fairly robust, but there are some interesting exceptions, right? Lawmakers, legislators, members of the legislature do not have to preserve documents unless they are requested by someone. So, you know, unless a member of the public or a journalist requests records, lawmakers aren't allowed to delete them. They don't have to preserve them. So there is some discussion about whether documents related to the review were deleted after a public records request came in. Just today, some new developments happened in another one of the open records lawsuits where an attorney for American Oversight said that an attorney for Speaker Rob Voss had access to records that had been deleted, and it was going to be up to a different Dane County judge to determine if they were to be released. So there's potentially more documents to come. What those documents will tell us, we'd have to wait and see until we actually have access to them.
Jack Kelly, Wisconsin politics reporter for the Capital Times. You can join us at 1-800-642-1234 if you've got a question about the Wisconsin legislator's special counsel investigation in the 2020 presidential election. This is the place to have it. And Jack, as I'm some of the documents that were released earlier this week from the open records request include subpoenas, some which were never issued, some that have not been signed. And I understand these subpoenas have to be signed by the Speaker of the Legislature, Robin Voss, as well as another. What's your takeaway from these subpoenas that were part of this document release?
So subpoenas have to be signed by both Speaker Voss as well as the Assembly Chief Clerk. The subpoenas are kind of all over the map. So Representative Mark Spreitzer, who's a Democrat from Beloit, who is a Democratic member of the Assembly Committee on Campaigns and Elections, posted 86, I believe, subpoenas to his legislative website yesterday. An aide to Spreitzer told me that these subpoenas came from the first batch of subpoenas that Gableman issued, which were back in early October, as well as some of the ones that he issued in December. They show how wide-ranging the review has been. Obviously, you know, two of the big elements that we know now that Gableman's team has been focused on are how was voting handled at nursing homes during the pandemic. Obviously, the Racine County Sheriff did a report about this. Gableman pursued it. And also, how was grant funding from a private organization called the Center for Tech and Civic Life, which is a nonprofit, used by municipalities as a part of election administration. So the subpoenas, which are issued to a wide range of people, both in and out of Wisconsin, show the wide-ranging nature of the review and shows, you know, the somewhat haphazard nature of the review. You know, experts have told me that this seems to have been a haphazard review. You know, you talk to election administration experts, someone like Barry Burden at UW-Madison or Trey Grayson, who's the Republican former Secretary of State of Kentucky, you know, the former chief election official in Kentucky. If you're going to do a review of an election, they can be beneficial. They can be useful. You should do it. It's an exercise in good government. But they always say there should be very clear parameters set out. What are you trying to determine? How long do you have? How are you doing that? And the subpoenas show that, you know, these things seem to have really come and gone as different developments came out. His team started to pursue different leads. So the subpoenas were really interesting. Also, that list from Spreitzer is not comprehensive. He has 86 of them. The speaker said recently in a radio interview that he has issued more than 100 of them. I recently obtained a subpoena that was issued in February. So, you know, as recently as last month, they were still issuing subpoenas. So it's interesting. It shows the wide-ranging nature of it. But it's hard to glean exactly what they have learned from these subpoenas.
We're talking with Cap Times reporter Jack Kelly about the latest in the Michael Gableman investigation of the 2020 presidential election in Wisconsin, and we want to hear from you. We got calls around the bend at 1-800-642-1234. Get your reaction, what you think about Michael Gableman, whether or not you trust him, and what will come of his special counsel investigation. You can always comment on our Ideas Network Facebook page, and our conversation continues next here on Central Time. This is Central Time. I'm Lee Rayburn in for Rob Ferret today, and we're picking up our talk with Jack Kelly, Wisconsin politics reporter from the Capital Times, with us to take us through a new set of documents, hundreds made public from former state Supreme Court Justice Michael Gableman's investigation into Wisconsin's 2020 presidential election. What do you think? 1-800-642-1234. And Jack, since you were talking about Eric Cardall and the work that they have, this private attorney from Minnesota has done, at least apparently in conjunction with the Wisconsin special counsel investigation. And I saw Michael Gableman was on Tucker Carlson with Fox News earlier this week. Where is the argument of impartiality into this investigation? Is there one?
You know, this is interesting. Democratic members of the Assembly Committee that is purportedly overseeing this investigation, you know, asked Michael Gableman during last week's hearing, why should the people of Wisconsin trust you? And he actually became borderline emotional in responding to it. You know, he gave a long kind of talk about how he's committed himself to public service. He was a circuit court judge, of course, was on the Supreme Court. But he did admit and kind of danced around the answer to why should people trust him. But he did come out and say that he voted for Donald Trump. Obviously, he's made previous statements, unfounded statements about votes being stolen by the Elections Commission, I believe is what he said. So, I mean, It's from the jump, there have been questions about the impartiality, right? This was a review that received no bipartisan support. It was supported only by Assembly Republicans, and largely has continued to be supported only, or pretty much has only been supported by Republicans throughout the duration, though some Republicans now are even being skeptical of it. So, you know, that was a question that they asked, and Michael Gableman did not have a great answer to it last week during the committee.
That's Jack Kelly from the Cap Times. Now we go to you, and we'll start with Randy in Madison. Randy, good afternoon. You're on Central Time.
Good afternoon. I'm particularly disturbed. I've done quite a few, been a poll worker on quite a few elections, and the election officials I've dealt with, and I'm speaking here in Madison, are some of the most competent and people of the highest integrity I've ever known, in very marked contrast to these investigators. And I, like I said, I'm very disturbed that the point of the investigation seems to be to smear these people because they work in cities like Madison, Milwaukee, Green Bay, maybe La Crosse, where the votes will tend to go for the Democrats.
Randy, I appreciate the perspective, and it's something I've heard before, and I've seen the clerks actually put out their own ad in Wisconsin about the work that they do, and maybe little was known about it. But, you know, what are some of the responses from clerks across the state into this investigation?
Yeah, I mean, clerks... are often underspoken people. You know, they're diligent workers. They serve their local communities. So, you know, we hear less from the clerk, but let's take the city of Madison, for example. We don't hear from the clerk directly, but we hear a lot from the mayor of Madison, Satya Rhodes Conway, who is a fierce critic of this review. Obviously, you know, Michael Gableman has asked a Waukesha County judge to put her in jail for shrugging his subpoena. She's been... You know, I think they've used the term fraudit. They have, you know, they've been very critical. You almost run out of adjectives that they've used talking about the review. Now, it's a little bit hard to say what clerks think, but I will say that, you know, we've seen evidence. Barry Burden from UW-Madison did a survey of municipal clerks, because obviously municipal clerks are the lifeblood of Wisconsin elections. Wisconsin has a very decentralized election system. And he found a high burnout rate among election clerks. I don't have the exact figures in front of me, but he found a high burnout rate. So the stress of the 2020 election and its aftermath is definitely taking a toll on municipal clerks around the state.
Let's go to Mary in Wauwatosa. Mary, good afternoon. You're on Central Time.
Hi. I agree with the previous caller. I also want to say that I'm outraged that our taxpayer money has gone to fund this flim-flam con man's job, which now I hear wasn't very well done anyway. And the fact that he's got more money coming to him to do this is ridiculous. I think everybody should be embarrassed who has given him approval to do this. And frankly, I'm embarrassed that this man was a Wisconsin Supreme Court justice.
Mary, thank you for the call. And I feel like maybe Speaker Voss's attempt to, at some degree, you know, placate this investigation, but at other times, you know, it make clear that there's no decertification that is available for the 2020 election under the law as we know it. And that seems to be pretty uniform of a statement. So what about, you know, some of the Republicans and how they have had to how they've had to take a side on this investigation?
Yeah, one thing I should mention that Mary pointed out. So the contract extension between Voss and Gableman goes to the end of April. It does not actually include an increase in Gableman's budget. He's still operating under that initial $676,000.
Okay.
The one exception to that being that, you know, Speaker Voss did say that the assembly will cover, you know, legal costs for some of this ongoing litigation. So in theory, there could be more expense to taxpayers there, but the actual budget has not been increased. In terms of Republicans having to navigate this, you know, it has definitely been interesting to watch. We have seen, you know, several, I might be up to 10 now, I would have to double check, you know, county Republican parties who want to see Speaker Voss replaced. We have seen some members of the Senate, someone like Kathy Bernier, who is retiring, who's been a big skeptic and critic of the review.
She's a former clerk herself, right?
Right, right. A former municipal clerk herself, former, you know, election official for,
and
I think,
it's interesting,
years.
Jack, because she is the outgoing chair of the Senate Elections Committee. But then in the Assembly Elections Committee, you have Janelle Branchon, who was even recently made mention of or called into question the integrity of Wisconsin's elections.
Yeah, I mean, Representative Branchon was in attendance at an air quotes election integrity rally at the Wisconsin Capitol a few weeks ago. She was appearing alongside State Rep Timothy Rampton, who is, also now a GOP gubernatorial candidate. They were pushing for kind of peddling these ideas that there was some wrongdoing with Wisconsin's election in 2020.
Jack, I got to ask you, since you've been watching it all, what are you looking for next?
What am I looking for next? That's a great question. I am interested in the outcome of some of this litigation. Now, this is a more technical answer than you were probably expecting, but the outcome of this litigation could really define the scope of the legislature's ability to do future investigations. If a judge determines that these subpoenas that Gableman has been issuing aren't valid because they're seeking to compel testimony in private rather in front of the committee, that could, change the way that a potential future investigation would, play out. Obviously, as a politics reporter, I'm very interested in knowing whether or not a Waukesha County judge will actually go forward and try to jail Madison Mayor Saatchi Rhodes Conway and a handful of other Wisconsin officials. So I think that's interesting. I think, we waited for a long time for this second interim report because Speaker Voss had told us they wanted to legislate based off the findings of the report. Of course, the legislature is now out of session. They have passed a flurry of election related bills, most of which will be vetoed by Governor Tony Evers. So it will be interesting. I think, the review is winding down, but it's really going to fall into this litigation now.
Jack Kelly, really appreciate it.
Yeah, thanks so much for having me.
Jack Kelly's Wisconsin politics reporter for the Cap Times with us today, checking in on the 2020 election investigation in Wisconsin by former state Supreme Court Justice Michael Gableman and where things might go from here. There is certainly a bigger picture afoot.